Welcome to the Next Talk podcast. We are passionate about keeping kids safe in an overexposed world.
It's Mandy and Kim, and we're navigating tech, culture, and faith with our kids.
So we've gotten this question a couple times, and so it's time, Kim, to tackle it on the podcast.
Parent question alert.
Alcohol. So the question, and I've gotten it in various forms, but it basically goes like this. This is the question to me. We've done a good job of creating open communication. We are a Next Talk family, and my kids are getting older. And I'm talking, you know, they're driving, they're spending a significant time away. I've had this question from a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 19-year-old. So, you know, it varies, but the older kid. And they're telling me that they went to this party and they had this sip of alcohol, or they did this. And they're telling me they didn't get drunk, but they're curious and they did this and they want to be open with me about it because we have open communication. And I'll get these, you know, frantic emails like, oh my gosh, I've screwed up as a parent. Like, why isn't my kid just saying no to everything? Are they feeling peer pressure? You know, all those things are running through our mind. And so I really wanted to tackle that question here because this is a big deal. This is one of the hardest things about building open communication in your family is that you know, like your kids will tell you. Even if you kind of don't want to know, but you do want to know because you know you should know, but you don't want to know.
I think it's you want to know, but you don't want to hear it. You know, like and it's not just your kids. So you're hearing this about your kid and then you're hearing it about all the other kids, you know, that they know all the information on. And it is a lot to process.
Well, and I think what happens too, our kids are real smart, you know, and so they test us out and they'll first tell us, my friend is drinking alcohol or my friend is having sex, and they will see how we react to that, right? Mm-hmm. And I've always told parents, one, you need to default to love, like don't shame that friend, don't be mean, but also educate your kid about like why that's not healthy at that age, you know? But then when that kid comes over, love that kid. You know, your kid needs to see you loving that kid no matter what, even though you know this behind the scenes information about that friend. If you do that well, what that tells your kid is, okay, I confide in mom if I'm doing these things. And that's hard because I'm just going to be honest, as a Christian parent, like we just want to say our kids would never, they would never do that. And we just need to show on that. My kids would never, right? The reality is, I mean, most kids don't go off the deep end, you know, if you've created this style of open communication, but these kids are still curious. Their brains are still developing. They're still wondering, like everybody's doing that at that party. Can I just take a sip? Like, what is this? And so where do these conversations go? Like, what do we do when our kid confides in us and says, I did take a sip at a party, or I do want to try alcohol the next time my friends have it. And then you go into, oh my gosh, you can never hang out with these friends again. Then they're never going to tell you anything again. So it's like, oh, what do we do with this information?
Well, I think the first thing that you and I would agree on, Mandy, is the fact that they tell you is the most important thing, because that's where you get to have the conversations. If they don't tell you, you never get an opportunity to speak into all the different layers of this conversation and also create that safe place for them that's ongoing. Because again, they are testing you, and the more you have this opportunity to create a safe space and walk through these difficult things with them, the more they're going to bring you. And so thanking them, even though maybe you're a little bit hurt or frustrated that they didn't come right away, ultimately they did. And that is so good. And you want them to keep doing that and keep confiding in you.
Well, it doesn't feel like a win, but it's a win if your kid confides in you, even if it's something you don't want to hear. That's a win. So I want us to like wrap our heads around that, because sometimes the confession to us feels like, oh my gosh, I screwed up as a parent. And I think that's Satan. I mean, yeah, kids are going to mess up. I mean, we've all been a kid before. We know we're just not thinking about things. We're just doing what feels good, what everybody else is doing, jumping on the bandwagon. I mean, that's what kids' brain and that impulsive decision-making is. And so what we have to do then is say, thank you so much for telling me, but then educate as to, okay, let's talk about why this may not be a good decision. And I say that because you have to switch in your mind to education and not lecture. if you're lecturing and you're saying, okay, you can't ever hang out with those friends again. I can't believe you did this, like ultra shaming. How could you? We moved to a space where they will not confide in us anymore. And we have lost the voice in our kids' life, especially on that specific issue. You know, we're talking about alcohol today, but it could be any issue. Could be any issue. So I think what we need to do is, you know, thank you so much for telling me, accept that as a win and not shame, and then accept the reality. When your kid is driving, when they're at that age, they're spending more time away from you. They can sneak and do things and not tell you much more easily than when they weren't driving. That is a reality. And so my goal in my home, I've always said to my kids, listen, even if you make a bad decision, like I want to know, I'm going to love you the same. We're going to walk through it together. I may not be ecstatic about it. I may not agree with it, but I need you to know if you lie to me and then I find out and you've hidden it from me, that's a much, much bigger issue than whatever mistake you could have made. Because then we have a very fractured relationship. And like, where do you even go from there? You can't trust them on anything.
We actually did a show, My Kid Lied to Me, How Should I Respond? And I think that would be very helpful to listen to before something happens. You know, go take a listen after this show, because it gives some really good talking points on ways to mend the relationship, you know, what that looks like with talking to your kid, because it is a huge deal. And it is very likely going to happen. It may be over something very small or something big, but being prepared for that so that you don't freak out and lose your mind on your kid would be very helpful.
Yeah, that's a disclaimer we want to say, but on this show, we really want to focus on your kid has confided in you, but you don't like what they've told you. And, you know, we're centering this around alcohol. Like, what does this look like? It could be any topic that they've confided in you about. So when I talk about switching from lecture to education, I want to give you some practical examples of what that means. So the one thing is safety, honesty, and some non-negotiables, quite frankly. You could say, okay, first of all, it's illegal to drink alcohol. So I need you to understand that there's consequences involved there. If that party gets raided, like that could affect your life. Like you could get in big, serious trouble. You could face charges. They need to understand that. But these non-negotiables need to be, okay, you're telling me you took a sip. I'm not happy about this. I'm very glad you told me. I'm very happy we have that kind of relationship. But I need you to understand there's some non-negotiables around this. You never drink alcohol and drive. You never get in a car with somebody who has been drinking, because lives are at stake. Also, you got to be talking about consent. People are impaired at parties when they're drinking. And so there's no kissing. There's no hooking up because lines are blurred and they may misinterpret something. And so consent is a huge conversation too with this whole alcohol thing. But you're switching from lecturing to, let me talk about this. Now, my voice is kind of rising as I'm talking about this. When you're talking about it with your kid, don't get as, you know, loud as I'm being on the show.
Riled up.
I'm getting fired up. You need to be calm. And ideally, you need to be, you know, having a meal together, driving in the car together. And I say that because if you're doing something, you're less likely to get riled up, you know, because you're focusing on something else as well. And so this is important, but you do need to say, it is okay to say to your kid, I don't love that you're doing this. Thank you for telling me. I do really appreciate that. But, you know, we need to be talking about why I'm struggling with this, and then move into the educational aspect.
You mentioned that in a lot of cases, kids are saying they had one drink. And one of the consequences I don't think a lot of kids know about that it's important to share with them is alcohol poisoning, where you don't know your limit yet. And so you may have one drink and you already feel really tipsy, and just a few more and you could be in a place where you don't know what's going on, and then someone's still giving you drinks. And so there have been many times where kids have died from alcohol poisoning on their first or second time having drinks. So I think it's important that they know about that consequence as well.
So this goes into the education part, Kim, because what we need to be doing is, and I think a lot of Christian parents don't do this, because they think if we have this conversation, then they think we're condoning alcohol. Okay. And I don't think you're condoning it by educating your kid, but you need to talk to your kid about how different types of alcohol has different effects on the body. So I remember in college, you know, just drink the red fruit punch that doesn't even taste like alcohol. And you're drinking and sipping. And before you know it, you can't walk, right?
Yep.
You need to tell your kids that. They need to have their guard up. Is it really just you're taking one sip, or are you in a social environment where you don't really know how much you're drinking and it gets carried away to where you have reached a point that it could be dangerous? Like you said, it could be alcohol poisoning, it could be anything. They need to know that. They need to know if you haven't eaten before you drink, it's going to affect you more. You know, beer is going to be different than vodka. So the alcohol content. I say this because we have to switch to this education mode. And I think we don't, because we think if we talk about this with our kids, they're going to think we're okaying it. And what I'm saying to you is you can still say, I don't love this choice that you're making, but you are becoming an adult and you can do it if you want to do it. So what I'm going to do is educate you, because I do want you to be safe if this is going to be your choice. Again, it's not the choice that I think you should be making at 18 or 19, because it's not legal. And, you know, biblically, we're supposed to submit to the laws of our country. Like, we are supposed to submit to our laws. And also talking to them about, like, what the Bible says about alcohol. So, like, drinking alcohol, having wine, that's not a sin. Drunkenness, a sin. There's a line there, and it's different for everyone. And you have to know your limit. And as a young kid, you don't know that yet. You don't have enough experience with it. And so these are the kinds of conversations that we educate about. And again, I'm getting a real little riled up, but your tone should be calm and just informational as you're talking your kid through this. Great point.
Another thing that's really important to talk about with your kid is the fact that alcohol is addictive. And that may seem very obvious to them. They're like, well, I know it's addictive, Mom. I know about alcoholism and all that. But the thing is, it can also be a gateway drug to other drugs. And with alcohol, it can be addictive in a very slow, steady, surprising way that kids' bodies start to become dependent on it and they don't realize it. Now, I actually just learned something from a counselor that I thought was so interesting that I had no idea, but it does make sense with something like alcohol, a depressant. When your body starts to receive it regularly, your ability to normalize your emotions when you're dealing with everyday things, like maybe you got a bad grade on your paper or your friend said something dumb. And normally you'd be able to say, well, okay, you know, I'll bounce back on the next one, or they didn't mean it that way. When alcohol is present in your body on a regular basis, your body's ability to readjust and deal with everyday concerns easily stops functioning right. And it becomes very hard for you to deal with regular problems and regular emotional concerns. I had never heard that before. And I thought, what a great fact to share with your kids, because it's already hard to deal with your emotions. And then to add that other layer on there to make it even more of a struggle, awful, awful. And so another educational fact to share with your kids.
This is another practical conversation that's so important. Why do you think you're drinking? Why do you want to drink? Is it curiosity? I want to taste this one time and see what it tastes like. Okay, I can get on board with that. But sometimes what we do is we want to go to parties and forget the world exists because somebody's bullying us, or somebody's making fun of us, or life is too hard, or our parents are getting divorced. Look, whatever it is, we want to forget that it happened, right? And then we use alcohol as an escape, as a numbing mechanism. And this is so dangerous, because then when alcohol doesn't work anymore, we may move to marijuana. And then when marijuana doesn't work anymore, then we move to something else, or we could move to self-harm with cutting. So always, always, it's saying to your kid, like, again, not shaming. Of course you're curious. I understand that. I was a kid. I was curious. But at the heart of it, like, why do you think you want to drink at this party? Or why do you think that you did drink at that party? And having that conversation to kind of get to the root of what's going on, it may just be an actual curiosity thing where you can be like, okay, at least they're telling me, and at least I know they're not getting drunk. And so at least we've got those parameters in place. You know, those are the kinds of conversations we want to press into, and we miss it when we're just screaming at them because they took a drink at a party. And that's what I'm trying to get here. I know I'm going to get backlash, Kim, because I know some people are going to be like, oh my gosh, Mandy's gone off the rails. She's saying it's okay for kids to drink. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying they get to a point where they're going to make decisions, whether you like it or not. And for me and my house, I want to be able to speak into it, whether I like it or not. And so I'm trying to find out how to do that in a way that is effective and doesn't shut down the relationship.
Well, and when you have younger kids like I do, I think this is a more difficult concept to grasp. Because when you said earlier about the example of maybe your kid's just curious, I can get on board with that. In my mind, that sounds like saying, okay, you can drink at parties, and I'm okay with that. And that's not what you're saying. What you're trying to do is preserve the relationship. So if they make this bad decision, you get to walk them through it and educate them. You get to say, I love you the same. I need you to pick up the phone. I will come get you. No questions asked. You never drink and drive. Those are the things that you miss when you just go into screaming lecture mode, which is such a hard balance. Because as a parent of younger kids, you never imagine your kid who is currently, you know, 7 years old coming home and saying, I drank at a party, and you saying, okay, tell me more about that. Like, it's hard to wrap your brain around that. But it's true. As they get older, and you know, I have one that's now getting older, I can see how much it shuts down the relationship when I don't first process with them what they have done and help them versus lecture them.
There are sure times that I'm like, oh my gosh, what in the world? Like, why are you telling me this? Like, I never want to know this. But at the same time, it's so awesome. And it is a win. They feel safe with you. Open communication has worked. But the tough side of open communication is, you know, you're not pushing everything under the rug anymore. You've decided to do the hard work and face things head on. Like, and for a lot of us, like, we're changing generational family legacies here by creating open communication on our family and doing it this way. And so it does look different. And we're constantly learning about this balance of making sure they know we're not condoning it, but also loving them unconditionally and educating them on why we're concerned about this choice they've made. Okay, so here is a couple little phrases that you could say to your kids. One is this: I don't agree with this choice, but I do respect that you're telling me. Thank you so much. Another real practical thing that you could say to your kid: you know, you're 19. You get choices. You have to decide things for your life. No matter what, I do want you to be honest with me, but I want you to consider all that you're risking by making this choice. So let's talk about that. So those are just some like practical lead-in ways that you can talk to your kid without endorsing it or cheerleading it or saying, yeah, go get drunk. Yeah, go experiment. Like, we don't want to do that. That's not what we want to do. That's not what anyone is saying.
I feel like my mom did a really good job of parenting alcohol when I was new in college. And she said something that's going to sound really bad and come across the wrong way. But if we apply it to this situation, I think it's something that you can keep in the back of your mind if you face a similar struggle. She said, I'm going to be a hold your hair kind of mom. And I was like, well, and what it meant in reality was I made some bad choices, but I called my mom, she picked me up, and she held my hair while I threw up. And then she had all these conversations with me, and she would pray over me and pray over me and pray over my decision making. And it made all the difference. And so always in the back of my head, I have that when I'm thinking about these situations with my kids. I don't want to be at the party saying, drink, 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 and then hold your hair. But I will be the one at home sitting with you and working through all of these difficult choices you're making.
Yeah, I think there's just such a huge difference there. And I love how you're saying your mom did that. It's not like, yay, let's go party together, like your best friends kind of thing, right, like trying to be right. The buddy. But you're there supporting, loving no matter what, but then praying and educating and saying, are you sure this is the right path for you? Like, we need to be talking about this. This is not a good situation.
Why are you doing this?
Yes. Those kinds of things. I think that is so, so helpful. And it's exactly what we're talking about here. It's exactly. Just another couple practical tips. if your kids are going to parties and they're saying to you, I had a drink here, I had a drink there, just a practical behind the scene parenting tips, no sleepovers, because then your kid lets their guard down. We don't have to go home. I can just get loosey goosey with this. I'm here all. Mm-hmm. So just, we're not going to spend the night. No, we've got this tomorrow kind of thing. Situation. So that kind of helps control your kid letting their guard down. Another thing, I know a lot of times when your kids are confiding in you about, I drink at this party or I'm hanging out at this house and, you know, they vaped or whatever. I mean, it could be anything. It could be anything that they're confiding in you about. One thing I get asked a lot, do I ban that friend group? Do I just tell them they can't hang out with that friend group anymore? Well, this is challenging because if you do, again, they're going to get with another friend group and then they're going to start doing something bad and they're not going to tell you because they don't want to be banned from the friend group. So yeah. I know that feels right to just come in hand swinging. And, you know, when they're nine, it's a little different, but I'm talking older kids yeah. here. One of the things that I used to say to my kids in high school is, and still do, is, are there any of your friends who you look up to? Are there any friends in your group that you're just like, wow, they're going to change the world one day? Like this person is on fire for change and Jesus and doing awesome things. And this is incredible. Like they're a role model. Typically the answer is going to be no, because all kids are struggling, y'all. All kids are struggling, no matter how good of a Christian family they were raised in. All kids are struggling. And so typically that answer is going to be no. And so what you can say then is just be like, well, just, you got to make sure you're not influenced by these people who are your friends and they're great people, but they may not be the best role model. They may not be the best influencer. And we've got several shows like Influenced, the Bandwagon Show, that are just great conversation starters about that friend group circle. And you know, you may have a partying friend group where you're trying to move your kid away from that. You may be wanting to reintroduce new friends, maybe try a new youth group, maybe pick up a different sport. You know, there are things that you can kind of not make it about the alcohol, but like, oh, let's expand your friend circle. And it doesn't have to be, we're leaving these other friends behind and we're getting new friends. It can just be, let's just have a new circle of friends. Like it doesn't have to always be these three that you're hanging out with. You know, it's better to have different opinions. And so those are just some practical things like the friend group and sleepover, like that kind of stuff comes up when we're talking about partying and alcohol and that kind of thing. So those are just some practical behind the scene things that I've found is helpful. I do want to reiterate, and we said this earlier in the show, there has to be some non-negotiables around alcohol. You know, this isn't loosey-goosey, just educating and blah, 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 blah. There are some very hardcore consequences around alcohol that you need to be talking about. And so it's drinking and driving, it's lives at stake, it's consent. You know, those are the real big deal breakers, getting drunk, like knowing your threshold, knowing the line. We talk about that a lot with everything, whether it's, you know, scrolling social media or whatever, like you have to know the line where it's negatively impacting you. All of those conversations are really good and you have to stay focused on the educational piece around this.
Another conversation that you need to have with yourself and your spouse and then with your kids is recognizing where you come from when it comes to the conversation about alcohol and realizing that alcohol is not for everyone. Like in my family, we have a long line of alcoholics and I was curious about it. I used alcohol to numb some in college and then I revisited again in a stressful season of life, which I shared on our show, I'm numbing myself with. Talking with your kids about that, it may be a conversation or a thought they've never had, but it's very important to plant that seed, especially if it runs in your family.
I think this is just a critical educational conversation here because your kid is going to go over to people's houses and see alcohol and people drinking, and it's not a problem. And for our household, Kim, I'm very much like you, you know, addiction runs in our family. And I had a horrible situation with alcohol in college, horrible, bad decisions. And, it's probably been, I mean, I don't keep track, but it's probably been 15 years since I've had a drink of alcohol. So we don't keep it in our home. It's just not good for me. I know it's not good for me. Not everybody struggles with that. It is for me and I have to be careful with it. And so I share that because it's a trigger for me. It's a trigger because of my history and because of my decisions when I drink, when I've drank in the past. And so I'm telling you this because as a parent, when your kid comes home and there's a trigger, that crazy mom mode goes psychotic. Like you just, you know, you're just bouncing of emotion. And you got to rein that in. And alcohol may not be it for you. It may be something else. It may be sexual activity or, you know, pornography watching, whatever it is that your kid may be confiding in you, that it is just a huge, huge trigger for you. And you need to know that. One of the things that we were very intentional about in our home is just because we don't have alcohol and just because I don't drink, that doesn't mean we don't talk about it. And I think you need to be very, very clear with your kids. A lot of times we're like, I can't do it in my family. And we're not, that's it. No, you have to press through to the awkward. You have to press through to realizing Satan wants you to feel like your kids are going to think you're giving them permission by these conversations. But if you do it correctly with this balance and this tone that we're talking about as, I don't like this choice, but thank you for telling me. This is what we're going to talk about. If you do it in that way, it again becomes educational. It becomes a dialogue. And that is what we're striving for here. That is what we're striving for with alcohol and any other topic.
I do want to say, though, with alcohol, it's one of the few things that we talk about. Like we talk about drugs, we talk about vaping, we talk about pornography, we talk about all of these things. Alcohol is one of the few things that culturally is acceptable. Yeah. It is a social norm. Like you said, you'll see it in people's houses. I mean, it's all over the place. And so I think this is one of the most important conversations because it's not a banned thing or something that collectively people think is negative. So make sure to have this conversation often and ongoing because your kid's going to change. What you share with them when they're a young teen is going to be different when they're getting to transition out of your house or if they come home and they share that they've tried alcohol. So it needs to be an ongoing, reoccurring conversation.
Absolutely. We're trying to find that balance where they're understanding alcohol, they're getting educated about it. And if they do get curious and they do make a choice, that they're going to be honest with us. The last thing you want your kid doing is getting in a car, driving under the influence because they are scared to tell you or someone else. Like we cannot have that world. We cannot. Too many people die from drunk drivers every day. I mean, I can't even imagine. So educate your children about alcohol. This podcast is ad-free because of all the people who donate to our nonprofit.
Make a donation today at nexttalk.org.
This podcast is not intended to replace the advice of a trained healthcare or legal professional or to diagnose, treat, or otherwise render expert advice regarding any type of medical, psychological, or legal problem. Listeners are advised to consult a qualified expert for treatment.